Joshua chapter 3. We're going to be conquering Canaan tonight. So how about we open in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this opportunity to look at your word and to see these things where you helped others in the past. And we can draw, Father, principles for our own life that, Father, we too may be encouraged and enjoy your help, your guidance and strength. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will work in and amongst us this evening, encourage us, use your word to do mighty things for us this night. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you can remember the last time we were conquering Canaan, we saw how in preparation for going into the promised land, Joshua sent two men to go and spy out the land. And when they got there, they soon discovered that the Lord had already gone before the children of Israel many years ago. And he had brought fear amongst those at Jericho and throughout the land. And they were really just waiting for the children of Israel to come and conquer them. And when these two spies discovered this, they came back and they had a very different message to what those 10 spies delivered around 40 years ago. And we read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 24 this, "And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." And so they could see that the Lord had done some mighty work in the minds and the hearts of those in that land well before they had even got there. And so they brought back some exciting news. And so because of this, we read in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 this, "And Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go." And then we read what is our text for this evening, where it says, "For ye have not passed this way hither to fore or before." And so you have not passed this way before. And so Joshua is preparing the people, and he also gives them this news that they are going to go to a place and a way that they've never been before. And we see that they're about to face some new challenges in their life. They had been in Egypt, and they knew what it was like to be a slave. They had been through the Red Sea and seen the salvation of the Lord and the destruction of their enemy, and they've been free from the bondage of their enemy. They had been taken to Mount Sinai. They had heard the voice of God. They had seen the cloud of God. They had received the law of God as well. They had also gone to the edge of Jordan. They had also been in the desert, and they had seen a lot of desert as well, but they had never been here before. They had never been into the promised land. And they were about to face some new challenges. Those giants that scared off their parents were still there. They've never faced them yet. Those city walls, which were humongous, they hadn't faced them before. The battles that they had to fight, there were a lot of unknowns. And so they had never passed this way before. And really, this could have caused them to retreat and refuse to go into the promised land, just like it caused their parents to retreat as well. As they camped beside that Jordan River for 3 days, and they looked over and saw the promised land, and they saw all the challenges that lay ahead, all these new challenges, they could have built up in their mind a lot of doubt and a lot of fear, and they could have acted the exact same way and made the exact same mistake as their parents made and refused to go in. They could have run away. And sadly, I do know as we consider that, that that's how a lot of believers act. They have that Red Sea experience, so to speak, where they enjoy that deliverance from the enemy, and the enemy's bondage over them is destroyed and they are saved, so to speak. And it is God's desire to take them into the promised land straight away, just like it was with the children of Israel. And for each Christian, they go to the edge of Jordan, so to speak, where the Lord wants them to live that sanctified life. Living where He wants them to live. Living how He wants them to live. Facing the challenges that He wants them to face. Enjoying His help as He wants to help them. And learning the lessons that God wants them to learn. And for many Christians, when they consider this, that they can surrender to the Lord and start living the life that He wants them to live, and they realize there are going to be a lot of new challenges and a lot of hard things to face, so often they act just like the previous generation of the children of Israel. They run away and they're too scared. They're afraid to say, "Lord, I am Yours. I will live how You want me to live. I will do what You want me to do. I will go where You want me to go, and I'll be what You want me to be. Lord, I'm Yours." A lot of people, a lot of Christians are too afraid to say that, where they say, "Lord, I will acknowledge You in all my ways. I'll accept Your authority over my life. I will seek Your ways, and I'll seek to go Your paths that You lead me. Lord, direct my paths. I only want to go where You want." You know, for a lot of Christians, that's too scary. That brings a lot of unknowns in their life. That makes so many things so much more difficult when they have to honour the Lord and seek His will rather than doing what they think. And for many Christians, they lean to their own understanding and they work out what paths they think are the best for themselves rather than seeking God's paths. And what happens is, over time, that brings a dryness of soul and it brings a deadness in the Christian life. And that's how a lot of Christians live. Praise the Lord, though, there are many Christians who are like this generation who are willing to live how God wants them to live. And they're willing to face the challenges God wants them to face. They're willing to learn the lessons that God wants them to learn. They're willing to enjoy His help. They are willing to be used by the Lord how He so desires. And when a Christian gets to that point, and hopefully it's straight after salvation where they say, "Lord, I'm going to live as You want me to live," straight away you can be sure that brings a lot of new challenges. The sanctified life brings new challenges regularly. Now sometimes the new challenges that we have to face are basically just everyday things that most people face. The only difference is you seek to honour the Lord in those circumstances. And that's what sets you apart from everybody else. The everyday circumstances in life, but you seek to honour the Lord while so many don't bother. It could be simply just where you work or where you go to school. But you seek to honour the Lord in that place, while most people don't. It could be just something as simple as getting married or having children. And there's plenty of people in this world that does that, but you seek to live and have a marriage that glorifies the Lord. You seek to have that child and raise them in the way that God wants you to raise them. And that's where the new challenges come. Could be simply leaving home, aging, having a sickness. Everyone goes through these things, and these are common things, but for a Christian who wants to live the sanctified life, they are new challenges when you want to honour the Lord. And for some, that's too much. I'm not going to go to God's Word to find out how He wants me to face these. I'm just going to try and work it out myself. And they don't want to live how God wants. Sometimes, though, the sanctified life brings challenges simply because once you do surrender to the Lord, He directs you in ways which you normally wouldn't go, where He gives you gifts and He wants to use those gifts. He gives you talents and He wants to use those talents for His glory's sake. And that brings a lot of challenges. Imagine if God calls you to be a missionary. The O'Tooles would have an understanding of that. Boy, that brings a lot of challenges, new challenges. Where if I honour the Lord, I have to go this way. And there's a lot of new challenges. And I dare say that brings a lot of fears and a lot of unknowns. The Lord calls you to be a pastor or get up and preach. That brings a lot of fears. I do know that if the Lord wants to use some talents of yours over there with the musicians, that brings a lot of fears too. I've seen it. A lot of fears. What if the Lord just simply wants you to share the gospel with someone? You know, and the new challenges that comes with the Lord directing and using you with your gifts and talents, really it can be unique to each person because He gifts us in different ways and He seeks to use those gifts in various ways as well. And so these new challenges can be very unique, but when we seek to glorify the Lord with these gifts and talents, it can bring challenges. And then other times, the challenges may be things where we didn't see coming, or paths that the Lord wants us to go down for a certain reason that sometimes we can't understand. Could be the loss of a job, never saw that coming. Could be the loss of a loved one. Could be a sickness or a disease that hinders us or stops us. But these are the times where if you want to live that sanctified life and honour the Lord through this, you are going to face new challenges all throughout the life, the Christian life that you live. But we see here in this passage in Joshua that this generation, as they embarked to live that life in the promised land and that sanctified life, God gave them instruction to prepare them and to get them ready and to be vessels fit for His use to be able to face these new challenges. And what I discovered as I considered God's commandments to them, I realized these are very simple and practical commandments for us as well. You want to live the way God wants you to live? There's going to be challenges. Some of them, a lot of them will be new ones. And God has a pattern here how He wants us to be prepared and to live through these things. And so what we're going to do this evening is simply look at the key things that God wanted His people to do as they set out to go into the promised land. And we discover this in chapter 3. First thing we see here is they were to keep their eyes on the Lord. It says in verses 2 to 4, we've already read it, but I'll read it again. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, the Ark of the Covenant really represented for Israel the presence of God. That's where God dwelt, in the Holy of Holies. And so when Joshua commands the children of Israel to follow the Ark, he's basically saying, I want you to follow the Lord. And they were to have a distance between them and the Ark, which gives us an idea of reverence and holiness as well. But also, it was to be out the front where everyone could see it. That was to be their focus so that they could have an understanding of where God wants them to go. And they were to follow it. You see, they hadn't been this way before. They didn't know the way. And the exciting thing is, God wanted to lead them. He didn't say, now you go off and try and make your own way. He says, I want you to follow me. I want to lead you. All I want you to do is follow. And so that was their responsibility. Follow the Ark, or follow the Lord. Now they're going to quickly discover that where the Ark was going didn't quite make sense. These priests were commanded to go straight for the Jordan River and straight into the water. So the priests weren't commanded to go and find a bridge to go over Jordan or go and find a shallow area to follow Jordan. No, they were to go straight for the water. And the Lord wanted the children of Israel to follow him even though it didn't make sense. And that is extremely important for all of us to understand. Sometimes obeying God's word doesn't seem to make sense. And the world will quickly say there is a far better way to live, and this is it. And it's going to be contrary to what God says. In our own fleshly thinking, we can be tempted to listen to what the world has to say rather than what God has to say and think, yeah, God's word doesn't make sense. This other way does seem to be much better. And to human reasoning, it will. And that's when you're going to have to choose, do I obey what God says, or do I listen to what the world or my deceitful heart says? And when you look over the terrible decisions and the disasters of lives for Christians over the years, you'll see it comes down to a time when they come to that crossroads where they have to choose, do I listen to God's word or listen to the world or my own heart? And they choose to listen to themselves. And it leads down to a path of destruction. And when the Israelites were told they would head straight for the Jordan River, I'm guessing in their mind they're starting to think, this doesn't make sense. Surely there's an easier way or a better way to go than heading for the water. But ringing in their ears were the words of Joshua where he says that you were to follow the ark. Follow the ark and follow the Lord. And you know, that's why it's so important to have a good understanding of the Word of God. And if you don't have a good understanding of the Word of God, that's why it's so important when there are new challenges, you need to go to someone that does have a good understanding of God's Word so they can show you what God says. And once you know what God says, or you have seen the principles of God's Word applied to your circumstances, then it's important to actually obey it and listen to it. As it says in the Word of God, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding where, okay, this is what I think is better. Don't lean to that way, lean to God's way. It comes down to trusting that He knows the best way to go, even though it doesn't make sense to you. And you know, I had a real practical experience in this. Just this week, you know, I had to go down to Melbourne to Williamstown and had an appointment down there. And you could say I hadn't been this way before. And I know that if I had to get to Williamstown, let alone a particular street, I'd probably still be looking for it today. All right? Who knows where I would have ended up? Thankfully, I got a GPS. So you just pump in the address, push the button, and then you follow the instructions. And you know, driving down there, it tells me to turn left. I just turn left. I don't even question it. I just do it. It tells me to go here. I go there. I don't think, I think I might go down this way. This one looks like an easier way. And you know, going down there, you can enjoy the trip. You're not wondering where you're meant to go. You just follow the instructions and trust that that little thing knows better than you. And it did, thankfully. You know, we went down a little street and I said to Linda, I think it might be taking us away here, you know. But I still listened to it and obeyed it and it took me right to the door. It was fantastic. Must admit though, when I was going there, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I actually trust the Lord and His word and follow it like I follow this thing. You know, that brought a lot of, took away a lot of stress and worry when I had full confidence in this thing that it knew where it was going. And I just listened to it. And I thought to myself, do I actually listen to God's word without question? Like I listen to this thing without question. Do I obey what God tells me, even though it doesn't make sense? Like I obeyed that thing and went down that little street that didn't make sense. You know, Even when the word doesn't make sense, do I do exactly what it says? And there was a little bit of a rebuke for me. I had so much confidence in that little man-made device when I have the living word, and sometimes I find it hard to listen to it, thinking that maybe God doesn't know how to get where I should be getting. But God says, trust in me with all thine heart. If we used his word a bit like a GPS and had as much faith in that, I tell you what, even though we know GPSs sometimes get it wrong, the word of God never gets it wrong, but we still put our faith sometimes more in those things than the word of God. But when God says, trust in me and I will direct thy path, that should be a wonderful, comforting promise that that's what he'll do. So we are to know what God says and then follow him, and that's what he wanted the children of Israel to be doing. But we see there in verse 5 that he also wanted them to do something else. It says in verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And so they were told to sanctify themselves. Although it was important to know where God, who they were to follow, and then to follow him and listen to the Lord also wanted to make sure that they had their hearts and their lives ready and prepared so he could work through them and do wonders for them. And so he said, sanctify yourself. Now, for the children of Israel, that could have included getting rid of some objects that brought dishonor to the Lord. It probably required them to wash themselves and to wash their clothes, separate themselves from their animals. They were to get their hearts and minds and bodies prepared and clean to be used by the Lord. Now, if they did this, God says that he will do wonders among them. That was the blessing. You sanctify yourself, and I will do wonders for you. And so God will work in them, he will work through them, he will work for them if they would make themselves clean in his sight. Vessels fit for the master's use. And you know, that is a very common theme throughout the Word of God, where God wants us to be vessels clean so he could use us. And the reality is, if we want God to work through us and for us and in us, we need to be sanctified in his sight. Do we really think that he's going to bless us and use us if we are not clean vessels in his sight? It's ridiculous. God doesn't do that. He says you need to be sanctified so I can use you. Now, for us, our sanctification is probably a little bit different to what the Israelites had to do here. You know, we have that wonderful understanding from the Scriptures that when it comes to our position in the sight of God, our sanctification is already set. We are the children of God, and we are separated from this world. When God looks at us, he doesn't see us as just a part of this world. He sees us as something different. We are his children. We are a holy generation. We are a sanctified people. Now, what God also wants us to do is to act like sanctified people. Blessing is, he's also given us the ability to live in a sanctified way. He's given us his Holy Spirit so we can have the power over sin and to have that power of God living through us. He's given us that ability to have that daily cleansing where he says if you confess your sin, he will be faithful to justify us and cleanse us. He's also given us the Word of God, and he says that is to renew our mind. We are to renew our mind by the washing of the Word of God. And we as believers are to take that position of sanctification and then live it out in our lives and take hold of the things that God has given us. Confess our sin. And enjoy the cleansing. Read the Word and have that renewing and yield to the Spirit of God in our life. We are to sanctify ourselves and walk with him. But don't think that you're going to see God work through you and do wonders in your life until you are sanctified. You're living that sanctified life. You know, there's a verse there, we won't really look at it, but the Lord turned his attention to Joshua and he said, "Today I will glorify you in the sight of, or glorify myself through you in the sight of the people." You know, when I read that, I thought, wow, it's God that does the glorifying of himself, but he uses people. And the wonderful thing is, it's not us having to do great works for God. It is just letting God do good, great works through us to bring glory to himself. It doesn't matter if you've got this talent or this spiritual gift or that spiritual gift or whatever it is, God is big enough to glorify himself through you. All he wants you to do is to be sanctified, confessing that sin, washing and renewing your mind and yielding to the Spirit of God. And once we do that, we need to do what he says next. And it's found in verses 9 to 17, and that is actually obey him. Let's have a look in, let's read verses 9 to 17. It says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Perizzites, no, the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, and is beside Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." You know, I want you to notice there that the Lord didn't do anything to the Jordan River until Israel made every preparation necessary to cross the Jordan River. They had to pack up their tents. They had to assemble themselves and get ready. The priests had to actually get the ark and put it on their shoulder. They had to start walking towards Jordan. And it wasn't until the feet of those priests dipped into the water that God went to work. And it wasn't until then. Now, if they turn around and said, "Well, God, we want to see what you're going to do first, and then we'll pack all the tents up and start following, because unless we know what you're going to do, we're not going to do anything." If that is the way they responded, they would never have seen God do anything that day. All throughout God's word, with his dealings with people, we see the same sequence of events that are required by God. And that is, God tells his people what he wants to do, he makes a promise, he demands obedience, and then he waits to see faith in action. Where he waits to see a person actually start doing what he says, And that's when God goes to work. That's when God gives the grace that's required, or the victory, or the ability, or whatever it is. But he must see faith in action first. And these priests, carrying the ark, walked towards the Jordan River. And the children of Israel had packed up their tents, they had got in the lines that they were meant to go, and they were following. And it wasn't until then, even though it didn't make sense where they were going, but once the priest's feet dipped in the water, that's when God went to work. I think that's exciting, even though it's very scary. You know, I love that verse, verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, that's when the waters started to separate. And so it was when the priests dipped their feet into the water. And you know, there's a very important principle for all of us. I wonder, is there something the Lord's been waiting for you to dip your feet into, so to speak, before he goes to work, but you've been too scared to do it? Has God made his will very clear to you about something? And he says, this is what I want you to be doing, but you're too scared to go and dip your feet in because you're wondering what may happen. Have you been waiting for God to show you what he would do first before you actually step out in faith? Have you been wanting God to do things in reverse order to what he does or expects for just about everybody? God says, I command, I see you actually obey, then I go to work. Where you're saying, God, I see your commandment, I want you to go to work, then I will obey. That's how we want God to work. But God wants and needs to see faith. You know, I remember years ago with up in Coffs Harbour, we met in a little hall. It really wasn't quite good for what we needed. And Darren Finn's father, used to write to the diaconate nearly every year, you need to step out in faith and trust the Lord, and we need to get our own church building. And we would read it, and me and my brother, being the spiritual giants, think, oh, that's ridiculous. We can't afford it, you know. There's no way. We've just got a little property and things are too much. We just can't do it. And he would write these letters of rebuke to us every year. We need to step out in faith. They went on for about 5 years or so. Until one day we said, how about we do try and do it? Nothing had changed financially. We didn't have the money to do it. It's amazing that once we started to dip our foot into the water, I could sit here and tell you miracle after miracle where God provided amazing things. Money, the land was about five times more than we paid for it and we ever thought it was worth. There's so many miracles. And everything started to happen. It was like God went to work once we started to put our feet in the water. And I still stand rebuked by that man. And I told him last time I was there, Mr. Finn, you were right. You know, we should have listened to you a long time ago. And that's what God is wanting from us. He wants us to start dipping our feet and doing those things. And if you're waiting around for him to do a work first, well, then you've made a mistake, because God works the other way around. Question is he waiting for you to step out in faith and obey him in some area? You know, we've been praying for Brother Fraser Young when he comes. And we should be praying that we see people come here and pray that they get saved. But you know, we can be praying all we want. We can know what God wants. We can be praying. We can be sanctified. But until we actually invite someone to come, well, then we may never see the wonders that God can do for us. It won't be until we as a church and we as individuals step out and dip our feet into the water that we will see God actually go to work. And maybe the Lord's been putting someone on your mind to go and invite to these meetings. Or maybe it's time to dip the foot in so God can go to work. And go and ask Him. Maybe the Lord's been laying on your heart to start serving Him in some way. Or maybe it's time to dip the foot in and see how God can use you if you would only step out in faith. Maybe the Lord's been convicting you about something you know very well that in your own strength you can never have victory over. Well, it's time for you to start dipping your foot in and start going across that Jordan and fighting that battle and let God go to work for you. You see, God did a wonderful miracle this day for these people. The Jordan opened up and they went through. And what was their responsibility? Follow the Lord, sanctify themselves, and obey Him. And when we do this, we may be amazed at the things that open up for us. When we actually dip our foot in, we may be amazed at the opportunities that open up to serve the Lord, or the opportunities that open up to witness for the Lord, or for the Lord to do wonderful things through us. But for Him to do these wonderful things, we first have to be prepared to dip our foot into it. And so when you're confronted with a new challenge, or it might be an old one you're still being confronted with, all God wants you to do is to follow His word. Don't lean to your own understanding. Keep yourself clean and pure and obey Him. And He in His wonders and strength will open up those things that are needed for you. And so that's the blessing that we see here with the children of Israel. And we see something also wonderful in the midst of this Jordan River and on the other side of the Jordan River that we will look at next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these challenges and this encouragement. And I pray that each one of us will listen to the Spirit of God and what He has to say to us this night. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.